Our scripture this morning, if you want to turn there, will be from Acts chapter 21. Just to give you time to turn there and think through those things. There's a saying that I'm pretty sure most of you are familiar with. And it goes back to the 4th century to the church father Ambrose. Ambrose actually was quoted by Augustine in a letter after Ambrose had made this statement. And Augustine says that Ambrose said, "When in Rome, he fasted as they did there on a Saturday, although when he was in Milan, he did not do this." A medieval Latin saying took off from there to something we might be a little more familiar with. He said, if you should be in Rome, live in the Roman manner. If you should be elsewhere, live as they do there. Or if you're like me, you're more familiar with the statement, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And sometimes even shortened to simply, when in Rome. Yet, I think that if we look behind, if we could go back and look behind Ambrose's statement and we could get more context and we could understand some things from Ambrose a little bit better, we would say that most likely Ambrose was simply modifying something that had been said in the 5th decade of the 1st century AD from the work of Paul. And if he wasn't quoting or changing exactly Paul's words, at least it was there in concept. And knowing some of the works of Ambrose, it likely was he was saying that when he was in Rome, he fasted, and when he was in Milan, he didn't, because of what Paul writes in the first letter to the Corinthians. In chapter 9, and beginning with the 19th verse, because this is what Paul writes there. He says, "For though I am free of all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being under the law myself, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all means I might save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it." This morning's text finds Paul in Jerusalem. And while it isn't his teaching this morning that we are going to learn from, as we did last week when he was giving instructions to the elders from Ephesus, rather this week it comes from the words of James, the brother of Jesus, and the actions of Paul. Paul has arrived in Jerusalem with a gift from other churches and is eager to pass it along to the elders and the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. Following his greetings and then the telling of stories of all that had been done through his ministry around the Mediterranean, Paul is addressed by James, which is where we're going to pick up this morning, beginning in the Acts chapter 21, verse 20, if you've turned to Acts chapter 21. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be on the screen this morning, but I'd much rather hear those pages turning than eyes looking up here. This is what Luke writes about this incident. He says, "And when they had heard it, they began glorifying God. And they said to him, 'You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed and are zealous about the law. And they have been told about you that you are teaching all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children nor to walk according to the customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Therefore, do this that we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow. Take them and purify yourself along with them and pay their expense so that they may shave their heads and all will know that there is nothing to the things which they have been told about you, but that you yourself also walk orderly, keeping the law. But concerning the Gentiles who have believed, we wrote, having decided that they should abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what was strangled, and from fornication. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself along with them, went into the temple, giving notice to the completion of the days of purification, until the sacrifice was offered for each one of them. Now, last week we heard Paul say that we should imitate him, and he laid out his life before the Ephesian elders as something to emulate, a way to live, things to do. Well, this week we see the life of Paul and the things that Paul is doing, and from this, while our situation will never be the same, we can learn some things about what we are called to do as followers of Jesus Christ in taking the message to them. It begins with what we see Paul doing first, and that is, he says in 1 Corinthians, to the Jews I became a Jew. Paul is taking the message, and I simply want to say to the Jews, to speak of taking the message to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Because here in our passage in Acts, we only see Paul trying to comfort, trying to ease the situation between those who are followers of Christ, who are outside of Jerusalem and probably outside of the Jewish faith, and those in Jerusalem who continue, though followers of Christ, to have an interest in the ways and the practices of their fathers. And so Paul is taking the message to the Jews, and he says to effectively take the message to the Jews in 1 Corinthians, he says, I become like a Jew. Now, that probably isn't the right way to say that. He says, probably he's saying, I simply act as a good Jew. And we know from studying the life of Paul, he was a good Jew. He says, I'm a descendant of Abraham through the tribe of Benjamin. And he says, was circumcised on the eighth day. And he says that I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the strictest of the Pharisees. Paul says, I am a good Jew. And so it isn't that he becomes a Jew. He simply becomes like one who is still under the law of the Jews. And by that, we see throughout his ministry, if we read through the book of Acts, you find that he continued, at least initially, when he would go into a new community, he would keep the Sabbath. Though the church is meeting on Sunday mornings, Paul would continue to observe Saturday as a day that was set apart and holy to God. And in doing so, he would go to the synagogue and he would meet with the Jews at the synagogue. And he would simply do what a good Jew would do. He comes to Jerusalem bringing with him this offering from the churches that he has been preaching at and that he has been teaching and leading to follow Jesus Christ. And he brings this gift, this token of appreciation back to the church at Jerusalem. And they ask him to keep a vow, or actually to pay the price of of a vow for these men who have made a vow of some sort and are planning on fulfilling it. They say to Paul, here's what we're going to do. Just to keep the peace, we know that we don't necessarily have to continue in all of the things of the law of Moses, but we also know that it isn't wrong to do those things, and many of them are of benefit and value. He says, they say, so please, just to help smooth things over, pay the price, you know, purify yourself according to the Jewish customs, and then go with them and pay the price that is required for them to finish their vow. There are a lot of things in life that we simply do. That we do life with other people around us where sometimes we live among people, and the best thing that we can do is to continue to look in certain ways like the people around us. We continue to speak of Christ, and we continue to do things that are worthy of the name of Christ, and we live among the people around us as the people around us as much as possible. And this is what Paul is doing. He's simply saying that one of the ways to win people is to win the Jews, to be those that are closest to us. There are some things that we just continue down the same path that they're going on. In fact, we see it once more if you were to look forward from the passage we looked at in Acts and finish out the story of what is taking place. You find that Paul will be almost mobbed in the temple and then rescued by a Roman guard and his soldiers. And Paul asks for permission to speak. And the guard says, sure, we'll let you speak. And so what does Paul do? Paul looks at the crowd. Paul looks at the crowd that is present, and he begins to speak in a Hebrew dialect. Whether he's speaking Hebrew that would have been familiar in the temple courts, because that is the language that their scriptures were written in, the language of their fathers, or whether it was a language that was more accustomed to the normal people of Judea, and he was speaking an Aramaic dialect. It was still the Hebrew, the dialect of the Hebrew people of the day. And Paul began to speak to them in the language that they knew. And there are a lot of things that we can talk about the culture around us in language that they're familiar with. And Paul says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew. We look at 1 Corinthians and think about that, and think about what's taking place in Acts. We find that not just did he speak to the Jews and become like a Jew, but he says in 1 Corinthians, to those without the law, I became like one without the law. And James and the church, they say this is the problem here. That there are some people who are taking the truth that you're teaching and they're twisting it and turning it to try to say that you're teaching everybody to simply forego everything of the fathers. And Paul says that to those without the law, I became like one without the law. And if you follow the ministry of Paul, you find that through his or through the book of Acts, you find that he brings along at different times these young men, these new converts to the faith of Christ, and he finds them that are going to be valuable for kingdom and for kingdom work, and he brings them along. And one of those is Timothy. Timothy is part Jewish in his lineage, and so when Paul begins to minister with Timothy, he takes Timothy and has him circumcised. To the Jews, you become like the Jews. But then there's another man that Paul brings along, and that is Titus. And Titus is a young man, and Titus is a Gentile through and through. And so when Paul brings him into the faith and brings him along in ministry, he says that I never had Titus circumcised. Because to those who are without the law, those who don't have that history and that background, Paul says that there are some things that aren't necessary to bring along. And to those who are not under the law, Paul says, we don't need to force them to follow all of the distinctions of the law. And James says the same thing when he says, we wrote to the Gentiles and said, you know, there are only a couple of things that we're looking for you to do. One is to be distinct in your food choices. And the other is to be distinct in your sexual practices and your sexual preferences. But elsewhere we read that Paul says, you know, we're not supposed to judge people on their keeping of days. And what he's saying is we shouldn't look at those who are outside of the law and expect them to keep the law. We shouldn't expect them to keep the special days of Judaism, all of the festivals, especially the three that it was really required of the Jewish men to go to Jerusalem. We shouldn't expect them to observe the Passover. We shouldn't expect them to observe Pentecost. We shouldn't expect them to observe the Day of Atonement. Because those, while they are of value, if we look at them and learn from them and see how they were pointing to and teaching about the work of Jesus, they're of value, but they're not things that we are required to keep. And Paul says, you know, we shouldn't look at other people and ask them to become Jews to follow Jesus Christ. And we might say the same thing today. You know, we can worship with those who decide not to keep or not to notice certain holidays because we have something greater, and that is the benefit of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we celebrate around the communion table. And Paul says, to the Gentiles, I became like the Gentiles. And if you follow his ministry through the book of Acts, that's what you find. That to those who were not Jewish, Paul brought them along into the faith without asking them to become Jewish. And we look at the world around us and we can't expect everybody to come and to be great Christians the first time they hear the gospel message. In fact, in the culture we live in, it probably is going to take quite a while before we get people to come into faith. And there are times when we need to go to where they are, and as much as possible, without stepping across the boundaries of how Christ calls us to live, to take on and learn to speak and learn to act like those who we're trying to reach. Because Paul says, and Paul lives in his ministry, to become like those without the law. You know, there were times and places where Paul's customs would have changed to match the customs of the people with whom he is ministering. He moves outside of the Jewish realm and he becomes like those without the law. And in fact, if you continue in this story, before Paul begins speaking in the Hebrew or Aramaic dialect to the crowd, you know what he does? He turns to the guard that has arrested him, and he speaks to him in Greek. The language that most of the Roman soldiers would have been fluent in, Paul turns to him and he begins to speak to him in Greek. He takes advantage of the things that he has learned about the world around him, and he uses them to his advantage. He becomes like the Jews to those, or to the Jews, he becomes like the Jews to the Gentiles. He becomes like one without the law. And he does that, he says in 1 Corinthians 9, to win some. You see, there's a purpose for the way that Paul goes about doing life and ministering to people, and that is he's doing it to make the gospel presentable. He's trying to find a way that will make the gospel presentable. And by presentable, I don't just mean able to be spoken. We can speak the gospel. I'm talking more about, like we might say in the morning, I got up and I made myself presentable. I put on appropriate clothing and I did my hair in an appropriate manner and I did some other things that made me presentable to the world around me. I put on some deodorant, I brushed my teeth, I drank my coffee so I didn't get aggravated with people. You know, I made myself presentable, and Paul is making the gospel presentable. He's not changing the message of the gospel. You read through the accounts in Acts, you look through the letters of Paul, and what you find is that there were some things that were, well, they were unchangeable. I can't change who I am. I can change my clothes. I can change my look a little bit, but I can't change who I am. I have to make me presentable. Paul was making the gospel presentable to the crowd that he was speaking to. He was learning to take the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the central core of the gospel, the central core of what we believe as followers of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, how do I make that presentable to a larger crowd so that the larger crowd will become interested and hear the story? And we take the things that are important to us, the things that we know, and we look at the world around us, and we take the things that are important to the world around us, and we place the gospel in the context where it can be shared. And Paul was making the gospel presentable. But that doesn't mean he's caving in, because if you study what Paul writes, if you study what Paul says through the book of Acts, if you simply look at the story, making the gospel presentable doesn't mean it's going to become easy, because presenting the gospel, even in a presentable manner, makes the life of the unbeliever questionable at best. Questionable at best. And actually, if you read through and you study the teachings of Paul, if you study what he's saying, you find that many times what Paul is teaching, though it's the truth of the gospel and he's making it as presentable as possible to many people, it is simply disgusting. They hear it and they say there is no way that that can be true. In fact, if you read through the account that follows Acts chapter 21, you find that the message has become disgusting to the Jews. They don't want to hear that he was sent to the Gentiles. They don't want to hear that the Gentiles don't have to become Jewish to follow Christ. They don't want to hear that Jesus was the Messiah and they took part in crucifying him. The message, though it is presentable, continues to carry with it its power, and the power of the message makes the life of the unbeliever, shows how disgusting it is, and it also shows how unbeneficial it is. We begin to share the gospel, and Paul would share the gospel, and one of the things that brought people to Christ was they began to see the life that they were living was unbeneficial. There was no benefit in the long term for the way they were living. He made it presentable, but he didn't dumb down the message. And in fact, you find that many times when Paul, even though he tried to make the message presentable, and even when we try to make the gospel message as presentable as possible to the world around us, if we're truthfully sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, the message doesn't fit in the world around us. Where people are living in and enjoying sin, the message of the gospel is distasteful. Paul's purpose was to make the gospel presentable. His aim was to win some. You read through what Paul writes to the church at Corinth there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He doesn't say that I am going to win everybody. I don't become like the Jews to win all of the Jews. I don't become like the Gentiles to win all of the Gentiles. He says, I become like those first because there are some Jewish people who are going to be won to Jesus Christ. We continue to live life with people around us that we're used to, and we continue to follow some of the same patterns in life because we might win some of those who are like us. We might at some point in time have the message that they need to hear. And as long as we haven't burned all the bridges between them and us, if we haven't distanced ourselves too far, we still have a path to tell people about Jesus Christ. And Paul said he changed changed his way of presenting the message to the Gentiles so that he might win the Gentiles. There are times when we do need to change, when we really need to look at our own lives and say, you know what? In this situation, in this context, there are some things that I need to do to make the gospel presentable if I am going to be effective. If I'm going to have the opportunity to win or to bring this person to a knowledge of Jesus Christ where they will enter into the kingdom, there are some things that are changeable. And the aim is not simply to look like them, but it is to win the Gentiles to Christ and to win as many as possible. To win as many as we possibly can to Jesus Christ. And then we see the result of winning some, and that is that some have turned to Jesus Christ. There are those who hear the message, and you read through the Gospels that there are those who hear the message of Jesus Christ and they accept it and they come to the kingdom. James says that there is a large number of Jews who have attached themselves to Jesus Christ. And this is already, there's a large group in Jerusalem, and this is after the persecution that Paul took on several years before this, when the church was scattered from Jerusalem. There is a large crowd in Jerusalem again, because the gospel message was being presented in a way that some would come to Jesus Christ. As we look at the preaching of Paul in different places through the book of Acts, we find that some turned to Christ, some simply wanted more time or instruction. They said, we want to hear more about what you have to teach. We want to know more about this message that you are proclaiming. And so some were interested. And many, and I have in my notes in parentheses, probably most, many rejected the message. We need to keep that in mind. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, who founded churches and went from city to city proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul that we look up to, probably struck out trying to bring the message to more than he succeeded. You see, Paul is not naive about people's rejecting the message. He says not to win all, but to win some. To the Jews, I become like the Jews. To the Gentiles, I become like the Gentiles, so that I might win some. In fact, Paul says, you know, I would trade my salvation if all the Jews would be saved at one point. He was not naive about the fact that people are not going to accept the message that we have to share. And in fact, we know that there are times when Paul's preaching the message, even when he made it as presentable as possible, it hardened some hearts. Some people heard the gospel message, and rather than coming with joy and gratitude to Paul for bringing him the message of truth and salvation, some of them heard and they hardened their hearts. They strengthened their resolve against the good news of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately today, even when we present the gospel in ways that are acceptable and presentable to people, there are going to be some who are resolved and their hearts are hardened because the truth of the gospel is disgusting to a lot of people, and they don't want to acknowledge that the ways and the things that they're doing are sinful, so they harden and strengthen the resolve against the good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul says throughout his message, and we see throughout scriptures, that the result of taking the gospel to win some, while some will accept the gospels, others, those who reject the gospel, are awaiting judgment. And the judgment is part of the good news of Jesus Christ, but as part of the good news of Jesus Christ is that we have an answer for the judgment that is to come. But we have to be careful. We have to be careful that judgment doesn't overwhelm and subsume the gospel. Rather, the gospel should absorb the judgment message in itself, and it should be Jesus Christ is coming to reclaim his own. But that means that there is judgment for those who are not his own. We have a message. We have a responsibility. We have good news to take to the world around us. And as Paul comes into Jerusalem bringing the gift, we see Paul living out what he wrote to the church at Corinth. To the Gentiles, he became like the Gentiles. To those without the law, as without the law, he says. And so outside of Jerusalem, as he's preaching to a mainly Gentile audience, he isn't preaching how the gospel and the law can fit together. But when he comes to Jerusalem, he's asked to be an observant Jew. And Paul says, I gladly will. As long as it doesn't stand against the message of Jesus Christ, I will take on the law of God so that I might win some. You and I, we live in a world that's in many ways what Paul is preaching. We can't follow word for word because most of us aren't Jews, and most of us probably won't minister frequently to people who are Jews. But we're ministering to people who need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are some things most of the time when we share with people that we have pretty much in common. And in our society, we can continue to use the things of our culture to win some people. But sometimes we have to step outside of what is comfortable and what is normal for us in our culture to the culture of someone else. And we have to be willing to make that change. To take the gospel to other people. Because while our ability isn't to save, Jesus Christ alone saves. We can introduce them to the Savior. And we might win some with the message of Jesus Christ.